If the Lord did just throw us away for what we're worth. We have no value. When the scripture said that our righteousness is as filthy rags, God looks at us. When God looks at us, none of us are worth looking at. The only way He looks at us is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's some good stuff. Ooh. We need to thank Him every day for what He's done for us. Every day. And you know what? The whole point of it is, this life, you can say, well, I can get by. You might can get by. But when it comes to leave this world, you ain't getting by then. Either you know Him or you don't. And there is not many options. There's two. Heaven or hell. There ain't no purgatory hoping you can get out and somebody pay your way out, friend. There ain't enough money to get you out of hell. Well, let's go on. The book of Colossians, the first chapter. Book of Colossians. While you're turning, I didn't announce that. I wanted to make sure you heard me. Charlene's mother's having a birthday now. She's in a nursing home. And not able to get out. She's going to have to stay there. But she's having a birthday today. And they're going to have a little party about 3 o'clock. Last 3 to 5. So you can go up there to about 3 to 4:30. You can't stay to 5. 5, you need to be back here, okay? So up there at the nursing home, a little birthday party for her. Remember Shirley in your prayers. The book of Colossians, chapter number 1. I want to read just one verse of scripture. I want you to remember the Apostle Paul wrote this, okay? Look at verses 13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." May we pray. God, we thank You, Lord, today, God, for the privilege that we can gather together. I thank You, God, that we're able to sing the songs, God, that speaks to our heart. But God, how we're able to be moved only by the Holy Spirit of God. God, how it calls to remembrance, God, the things that are important. God, that one thing is salvation. And I thank you, God, for that privilege, God, that one day I was able to bow on my knees and God ask you to come into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful blessing that come to my life. But God, there may be here today somebody, oh God, that's never been saved. Oh God, that's never surrendered their soul to you. And I pray, God, you just speak to them. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Let me read it one more time. He says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son." What it meant whenever he started talking about the power of darkness, here was a man that had spent his earlier life, when I say that, before he got saved, he spent his time, if I could call it this way, in church. He was around educated religious people. He didn't spend time in the honky-tonks of the world. He didn't spend times with the open sins that so many people do in our present day. He spent his time around church folks. Now, that would be the easiest way for us to understand it. And he learned about the law, or we can say it this way. He learned about the Bible, okay? And friend, when you're around God's people and when you're around the Bible, you might begin to think, well, I'm just as good as they are and we're all going to go to heaven. But there was some kind of problem in the middle there. The Bible says he talks about the power of darkness. The power of darkness. In the Old Testament, there's a little scripture in the book of Genesis about in the Garden of Eden that God made this beautiful garden and God put Adam in that beautiful garden and he gave a wife named Eve in that middle of that beautiful garden, in the very middle of it, here's what he said, in the midst of the garden, he put a tree. Now that tree wasn't a good tree. No, that wasn't one of them good holy trees, no. Well, none of that. The Bible actually mentioned that tree, it was a bad tree. It was a tree that God said, "You don't touch it." No, that ain't what it said. No. The devil throws that in there. Now, here's what actually God said: "Don't eat of that tree." Now he put it in the middle. Now, it would have been better if he took the Garden of Eden. I don't know how wide it was, big it was, long it was. Wouldn't it have been better to hide that on the dark side of the backside of the Garden of Eden? Said, "Oh, look here, you can have all this garden. Just go do anything you want to do in this garden. But that yonder over yonder, leave it alone." No, that ain't the way it works. You see, God gives you a choice this morning. A choice, but God also puts it in a situation where he's not going to try to say sin is a small thing. Sin's not small. Sin and the power of darkness is huge. We're dealing with something today that if you look through the eyeball and you look out, I don't just see sin. I don't see sin. But friend, we feel the effects of sin. We feel it. In fact, the more that you're around the devil, the more you're around the devil's influence, there's an eerie kind of feeling comes around you when you're around that kind of evil influence. It's eerie. It's weird how to think. Why? When you were out in sin, though, as a sinner, you just thought that was normal and common. There was nothing unusual about being around folks that was lost. In fact, go back in your mind. Go back to when you thought everybody was the same. It wouldn't matter if somebody cuss up a blue streak. It wouldn't matter if somebody steal or do somebody wrong. That was just the normal way. In fact, go out there, you're going to find all kinds of problems right here in Lawrence County. But you're not going to be just here. It's going to be everywhere in this world. All of a sudden, the power of darkness is just like it's in the middle of the Garden of Eden. It's in the middle. It's right there with us. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. In fact, this power of darkness was so real and so powerful, it actually drew Adam and Eve over to that section of the garden. It kind of drawed them there. It's kind of a power pull. You know, you can plant trees or you can plant flowers in your yard. And if you ever notice, maybe the sunshine, the way it shines on, it'll actually, them flowers and trees, they'll kind of lean toward that way because of that warmth of that sun. It kind of lean toward, it's the weirdest thing in the world. It's kind of crazy. But you know what? Sin is a whole lot worse than the way the sun has an effect. The way sin has an effect, it draws you that way. It draws you. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, man, didn't we say, oh, looky here, what happened? God does not shelter us away from sin. God will not put a hedge around sin and say, don't go in there. In fact, the Apostle Paul is trying to say there is such thing as called the power of darkness. And the power of darkness is mentioned in a couple of places. You just listen to me and listen to what it says. In the book of Luke, here's the way the power of darkness is described. Jesus was going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's leaving the Garden of Gethsemane with Judas and all those soldiers. Now listen. Judas has betrayed the Lord. Judas has sold out God for 30 pieces of silver. Judas is in that situation where Jesus had already told him, said, you know, one of you is going to betray me. The other disciples, oh, it's not me. But listen, when Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly, Jesus knew he had the power of darkness on his life. The Lord's able to recognize it. Now, here's what he said in this particular verse. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 22 and verse 53, while I was with you daily, he says, while I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. Now, he's talking to Judas and that crowd. But this is your hour. Jesus said, this is your time. This is your hour. And not only does he say it's your hour, but he says, and the power of darkness. Now, how can you describe that? How can you say that there is a power really as much as the power of God is? Listen to me, don't judge me just yet, just hold on. The power of darkness is so strong and powerful that me and you cannot handle sin. We can't stop sin. Oh, if you say, well, you know what? I'm going to get saved right before I die. You're sure gambling. It'd be easy for you to hit the lottery than it would be for you to get saved when you won't get saved. Because the power of God must draw you. And you might just think, well, I can do what I want to when I can. Well, you better hang on just a minute, okay? Hold on to that tater sack right now. Listen to me. Listen, right now in this particular time, the power of the devil was so real and so rich that in that Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples, they all fled. You just don't run when things is going good, do you? No, you run when you're afraid. You run when you're afraid. And Jesus says, this is your time and this is your hour and there is a power of darkness, friend. And they took Jesus. Now, this is what Paul was describing. Paul was saying there's a power of darkness. Well, that wasn't the only time. Let me just kind of tell you one other time. In the book of Acts, when we talk about the power of darkness, listen to what, when Paul went before Agrippa, and he goes there and he tells about him his conversion. Here's what he says. To open their eyes, this is how Paul is saying that Jesus told him, I'm going to send you to folks to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From dark. Now, he's not talking about nighttime. He's not talking about that. Friend, if we're talking about day and night, we ain't got anything to worry about. We can suffer through any night and wait till the morning sun comes up. But he's not talking about that kind of darkness. He's talking about the darkness that only the devil can bring to your life. What he's doing right now is taking your life and running you in a direction where you go toward that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're going toward your life to spend it in a life of sin. You see, when the prodigal son was living at home with his daddy and had everything, everything his heart's desire, he wasn't happy with that kind of life. And he told his daddy, he said, give me my inheritance and let me go on my way. Daddy did that, and what did he do? He wasted his substance in that riotous living, as we call it. But listen, he was trying to dibble and dabble around with a power of darkness. Friend of mine, whenever we find even people like when we go to Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a man that had been right-hand man, kin folks to Abraham, walked side by side, and whenever they lived and dibbled a dabble in the way that Abraham was going, everything was going fine. But Lord, whenever he went to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, the next thing you know, sin kind of overrun those folks. And when God sent judgment, even the man's wife turned around when God said, don't turn around, and became a pillar of salt. The power of darkness will take saved folks or religious folks or good folks and weaken them. Weaken them. Make us weak. Do you know that if you sitting right here in this church, do you realize if you don't come around God's folks, if you don't get around the preaching of the gospel, if you don't get around the reading of the word of God, if you sit at home and sit right there and say, well, I can live it at home as well as I can. If you try that stuff, you'll find yourself weakening right in front of your own self. You know why that is? Because of the power of darkness, even to save folks. Why is that? Why is the devil so powerful? Friend, the power that he has, he was going to take over God's throne. And God kicked him out. So when the Apostle Paul begins to describe the power that sin has, the power that darkness has, he knew the influence of sin and what it would do to one's life and how it could even affect all of us. But that was not really the category of people that we need to be talking to today. The people that we need to be dealing with is those that have never, ever known the power of God. The power of God. What does it mean? Look at the verse. The one in Colossians. Here's what it says. Who hath delivered us from. Who hath delivered us from. You take an alcoholic, you know, the biggest thing, and I'm talking about knowledge that I don't have, but an alcoholic, here's what they say. An alcoholic, whenever he's drank, and he's going to quit that drinking, and he quits that drinking, and he stays sober. What the terminology falling off the wagon is whenever they take another drink. And when they take that other drink, they just want that taste, they want that feeling, whatever it is. And you know what it done? It brought them right back to where they were. A drug addict person, same situation. They can stop, they go right back on. They can stop and they can go back on. But you know what delivered from means? Delivered from means what God is able to do is able to take that away from you. And when God takes that away from you, the power of darkness is no longer strong. The power of God is able to do a lot of things until God intervenes. You see, the difference is we as his children, hey, I want you to know, if we would stay close to God, if we would stay at the foot of the cross, if we would stay as close to God as we need to, we're not going to have the problem with the power of darkness or the power of sin. But our problem is we want to dibble dabble in the middle of the Garden of Eden, right where close to that tree is. We've got to stay away from it. It's not about how many times you come to church that's going to make you holy. It's not about that. No, it's how close you are to God. Amen. It's how close you are to God. Many folks think, I can do all those things. If you get close to God, God will be the one that protects you. God will be the one that says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But if you don't go close to God, it's not going to happen. But let me get to, it's the power of sin. But look at what happened in this same verse. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Translated us means to take something, and let's just use languages. Somebody speaks off into Spanish to me, I'll look at them crazy because I don't understand a word they say. But people that speak Spanish can interpret that or change those words to make it so that these ears understand what they are saying. They translated that language. Now watch this. There is something in the Bible about transfiguration. You remember that in the scriptures? Transfiguration was one day Jesus took three of his disciples up on that mountain, and Jesus, Moses and Elijah, they were met Jesus up on that mountain. Now listen, they were transfigured before them. They were changed. In fact, they had a glorified body that they could understand. The men, the disciples, didn't. They were in old fleshly bodies. And what it was when God began to have the conversation, when Jesus had that conversation with those men, it was a marvelous thing. Jesus told his disciples, I don't went over this before, but listen to me. Jesus told his disciples, says, you can't tell this now. You got to wait till after the resurrection. They didn't understand that. But on that day, they stood in an old fleshly body and saw what God was able to do with a heavenly body and a heavenly conversation and a light that was so bright and the glory of God. Man, it would make even a fleshly body person wish that God call them home. In fact, if we could see on the other side, we'd all want to die today. If we could see heaven, man, suicide ain't one of the things that we get to do. But man, we'd almost want to commit suicide to go on to heaven. But watch. What does it mean to be translated? Translated means to understand something that you didn't understand before, to be able to change from one location to the other. All of a sudden, the power of darkness has no more power over me. The power of darkness stopped because of one thing. The power of darkness, if you're lost today, it holds you. You want to change, but you can't change. You want to stop, but you can't stop. You want to quit sinning, but you can't quit sinning. You want to stop your lying, you cheating, you stealing. You can't. It's impossible. Well, watch this particular verse. Watch exactly what it said. And here's what it says, the whole verse. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. How are we redeemed? I'm not going to stop. We're redeemed through the blood. There is none other thing that will save mankind other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way to be saved today is to be saved through the blood of Jesus. Not of works, not of water, not of anything that man can do. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. On that case, when you come to Jesus, you don't come to a good man. No, sir. You come to the one that died on Calvary's cross that you might have life. None other salvation. None other name. None other person. There's not one person that can substitute and take a place. Jesus was the only one. Now watch this right here. The power of God, the power of darkness, the power of sin, that translated, that transition, that time to get from one place to the other, took redemption. Redemption. I'm redeemed. We sing a song many times. I'm redeemed. Why? How you know you're redeemed? Because of the blood. Nothing else. Church membership won't get it. You know that one that I read out of our church book there? That little dab that I read out of there? That book's going to burn up one day. Whoa, if that book burns up, there goes my church membership. Church membership ain't going to get you into heaven. That book's going to burn up. But friend, what God's got for us is never going to burn up. Let me hurry. Our time's gone, but I've got to hurry through this part right here. Listen to what he said. But translate us. We have redemption through his blood. And here's what he said. Here's what Paul said. Even the forgiveness of sin. Don't sound like much, does it? Even the forgiveness of sin. When we go back, and we go back to the Old Testament, and I'm going to go to Abraham. He's the easy one. When Abraham was going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice unto God, Abraham tied Isaac up, laid him down on that altar, had that knife in his hand, and he was going to kill him because God said do it. There was no reservation, none at all. When that hand was drawn back, I don't know at what point, what time, how it worked, but when God stopped him, God provided a ram in the thicket to take his place. Now, you know what that ram in that thicket did? That was a push forward. Every time a sacrifice was laid on the altar by an animal, all those years, every sacrifice, it was a push forward. Push forward. What does it mean to push forward? That meant redemption. Oh, redemption plan is laid out, but it wasn't yet. In Abraham's day, he didn't get to see Jesus' day. He heard about it. He heard what God said about it. He knew that it was coming, and if he was looking, it was going to be way up yonder ahead somewhere. But then one day, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus this month. We just kind of celebrate it. That's a wonderful thing. But guess what? The most wonderful thing in the world. Jesus went up there on Calvary's cross. Boy, we talk about the cross. We got a little old symbol up there on the front. It means something to us. But it wasn't just hanging on the cross. Because the other two thieves on the cross just hung there. Jesus shed his blood. And when he shed his blood on Calvary's cross, he wasn't paying it forward no more. He wasn't moving the sacrifice no more. It was the redemptive power of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No animal could ever take the place. Not one sacrifice could ever take the place of what Jesus did. It took human man and God, the Jesus Christ that we know, that shed his blood that I might have life. In fact, the power of sin all of a sudden dissolved right in front of my eyes when Jesus paid for my sin. If you looked at my soul and my heart, if you looked at my soul, because of that redemptive plan, all of my sins were gone. In fact, the Bible says, casting the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered against me no more. Cast them as far as the east is from the west. If you look at my soul, you only see the blood of Jesus covering the redemptive power. You know what, my friend? I'm indebted to sin. I had a debt that I could not pay. But Jesus come along and paid it. And whenever he paid it, the power of the devil was no more. The devil can come and stand right there, Johnny, on the spot in my face. And I can bow up like the biggest bow I want to bow up and be as strong as I want to be strong. Listen to me. And if I try to face the devil, I'll fail every time. But a friend of mine, when Jesus comes to my rescue and stands between me and the devil is no match. Because one day, the devil is going to be cast in that lake of fire. Who's going to put him there? Friend of mine, I got news for you. It ain't going to be me that puts him there. I'm no power nor match. God Almighty is going to cast him into the lake of fire. May I ask you an important question this morning? Has a power of darkness got you? Is there a debt that you owe that you can't pay? Hey, I like working a job. I enjoy working. I like getting a paycheck. I like to be able to pay my bills. But friend, I couldn't pay the bill of sin. Couldn't pay it. It was too high. But Jesus come along and paid it for me. Paid in full. Friend of mine, I have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Have you been redeemed? Do you know that you know that if you die, heaven's your home? I'm glad I'm saved. How about you, Brother Greg, a song? Don't know much. Kind of an ignorant person in life. I don't have a lot of education. I've got by pretty good along these years without that education. But the education that I thank God that He has given me is the education of knowing that Jesus saves an old sinner like myself, and He can save you. He shed His blood for me, and guess what? He shed His blood for you. It meant something to me when I got saved, and you know what, my friend? It'll mean something to you if you'll get saved. But as long as you're in the situation that you're in, you're hung to that tree that's in the middle of the Garden of Eden. It draws you there. It draws you there. You want to do good. You want to do right. You want to go to heaven, but all it is a want until you ask God for forgiveness. It's just out there. It's just out there. It's staring you in the face, telling you you need to be saved. But unless you do something about it, unless you come to Him, you're going to die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, hell's going to be your home. Can we stand together? Can we sing a song? If you need to come, you come today. Know Him. Know Him.